Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Rivers Church.
Now, as we look back at this year, maybe we've had our ups and our downs. I'm certain that we have. We've had our wins and our losses. Maybe you feel defeated. You may have some regret. You may even be suicidal because you just feel, what is the point? Please keep listening, because I'm trusting God to help you today. You know, what I've noticed in life is that some people, when they come to the end of a year, they're about to give up everything. Their marriage, their family, their business, I've had enough. But then comes the new year, they've got this long list of New Year's resolutions. Isn't that funny? Which is a good thing. But I'm trusting that today you already have New Year's resolutions, real ones. Amen? But there are some people who may come to the end of this year and genuinely say, I've had enough, I'm going to give up. Let me ask you a few questions this morning. Have you ever been homeless? No hands. So has Jim Carrey. Believe it or not. Have you been rejected by your dream university? So has Steven Spielberg. In fact, he wanted to go to the University of Southern California, where they delivered, if you could call it that, the best movie makers, producers in Hollywood. And he wanted to go to that one, and he was rejected. But today he's on the board of trustees of that very same university. Have you failed in business? So did Bill Gates, interestingly enough. Are you dyslexic? Well, so is Richard Branson. Have you had a teenage pregnancy? I did, and so did Oprah. Have you been physically or sexually abused to the point of suicide? Well, that was Tyler Perry's childhood and teenage life and experience. Are you physically disabled? Well, so was Franklin Roosevelt. Even though he couldn't walk, he went on to lead the United States of America as one of the most respected and memorable presidents in history. Are you struggling at school? Well, so did Winston Churchill, a brilliant mind, but struggled at school. That should help some of us parents, hey? That our children have a fantastic future in spite of struggling at school. But you know what? He went back to the school where he nearly failed his final year. And in 1941, he made a speech. And part of that speech was, never give in, never, 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 in nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give in, except to convictions of honor and good sense. Now, these are famous people who went from strength to strength, but we are all known and loved by God. And He also wants each and every one of us to go from strength to strength. And we can relate to people's stories, and we can certainly learn from them. But your story is just as important. The world needs your story. Because there are people you're going to touch that Winston Churchill never touched. Amen? And so on and so on. That is why I've entitled today's message, He Got You Here, He'll Get You There. Only people who have fought battles can say what Winston Churchill said. Because if you study up on him, you'll discover that he was part of four wars. One was the Boer War, right here on our African soil. The other one was World War II. There was India, and I don't know the other one. But really, by the time he was now the prime minister, and he was in power, and he was an influential leader, when World War II came, under his leadership, he conquered the Nazi-occupied Channel Islands. So he knew what he was talking about. It was in him from a young age. Amen? And God wants that winning spirit in each and every one of us from a young age. I love the words of David as a young man. In 1 Samuel 17, we read, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine." I don't know what giant you are standing in front of right now. Maybe it's a giant of debt, of health, of relationships, whatever it may be. God wants you to have a winning spirit. Look back on some of your wins and remind yourself of what God has done in your life so that you can get from here to there and keep going. Can I just remind you, you keep going until your deathbed, because your deathbed is not really a loss, it is a win. Your deathbed suggests that a door is going to open and you're going to step through that door into the presence of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. So we never actually lose. Amen? It's winning all the way. With David, the God who brought him through countless victories, if you read his life story, you'll see it went from strength to strength. Not a perfect man. Not one of us are perfect. But his victories were one after the other. You know, with humility, I say that if you know Pastor Andre and I, and you know the battles we've won, I feel, again, with humility, qualified. Because of my age, because what I've achieved in my life, in my marriage, in my walk with God, I'm able to tell you, listen to me, he got you here. He's going to get you there. Amen? Believe this. What he did for us, he will do for you. And you just need to remain in him. Come on. Don't have a wishy-washy walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Remain in him. Be faithful to him. Fall in love with him. Serve him. Amen? That is what I can say to you. Follow us as we follow Jesus, and he got you there. He's going to get you there, and you keep going. I've studied the life of the Apostle Paul, and I'm going to look at some of his life this morning, and we learn from his struggles, and I have a new respect for him because I really delved into concordances and things like that and really love this man that I want to speak to in heaven and congratulate him for not giving up, but allowing God to take him from one place to the next in victory. 2 Corinthians 11 tells us just a few things that I have time for. He says, 5 different times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. Apparently, if you have 40, you could die. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned with stones. This is a very sleepy service. Come on, people. 3 times I was shipwrecked. And so it goes on and on. You actually wonder how he actually did it. Well, we're going to learn quite a lot from how he did it. And then my key verse, section, is from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. And we read, he writes to them and he says, "We think you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, about the trouble we went through in the province of Asia. We were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure, and we thought we would never live through it. In fact, we expected to die. But as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves and learned to rely only on God, who raises the dead. And he did rescue us from mortal danger, and he will rescue us again. We have placed our confidence in him, and he will continue to rescue us." So, there we have it from the Apostle Paul's mouth. A truth this morning in your notes that you can fill in. God never promised us a trouble-free life, but he did promise to be with us always. God has given us many beautiful, precious, and good promises, but he also warned us that in this world, we will have troubles. In fact, I have not read, I've do my chronological reading my fourth year now, and I haven't read once in the Word of God that there was one person who made a difference for God who had a trouble-free life. It just does not work that way. But God never left them. And that is the beauty of who God is. So why did Paul write about his troubles? I feel I should write to you and let you know of these troubles. We were crushed. We never thought we were going to live. We thought we were going to die. Was it to get sympathy? Absolutely not. Not at all. It was to teach us some lessons. And in your notes this morning, we're going to start looking at lessons from the Apostle Paul, because we're going to learn from the best. Amen? We know that Jesus is the best, but he had a period of time in which he gave his best. And he is the number one role model, but we're going to look at the Apostle Paul. Number one, God is the God of all comfort. All comfort, not some comfort, like when you lose your sunglasses or your cell phone and you've got crocodile tears over that. It's not that he doesn't have comfort for you. All comfort suggests all sadness, all brokenness, all losses, right? All injustice that you may have suffered. I have a friend who was raped this year. That's injustice. But God is the God of all comfort. 2 Corinthians 1:3, it says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles." You know, when the Word of God speaks about praise, it suggests there's a song in someone's heart. As you go to the book of Psalms, you'll discover that any time there's praise, it has to do with a song of David, a song of the sons of Korah. It suggests there's praise. And Paul clearly had a song of praise in his heart. He couldn't praise God for the many hours I lay in the cold water with my toes falling off from the frost. He couldn't sing about stuff like that. But he could sing about who God was, that he is and was to him the God of all comfort. Amen. Come to church and worship God. Worship him in the bathroom. I hear it all the time in my house. Worship him in the shower. That too. Worship him in the kitchen. Worship him all the time. Not only when things are going well. Three truths about why you need to praise God and worship him. Praise him because he is God. He is God. He is worthy of praise. If we don't, the stones would cry out and worship our God. Amen? And then secondly, praise him because he's the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He loved us so much that he prepared for his Son, the Savior, the Messiah of heaven, to come down to earth and rescue us, to give us life, to give us life abundantly. We have so much to praise God for. There should be a lot of songs going on in our hearts right now. And then thirdly, praise him because he is the Father of mercy. When you and I woke up this morning, his mercies were new for today. His mercies were new yesterday, and his mercies will be new tomorrow. So we have a lot to thank and praise God for. Amen. The third lesson this morning, I didn't give you the second lesson. Lesson number two, I'm notorious. Notorious. Praise him in the circumstances, not for the circumstances. Can I just encourage you? I've met a lot of Christians who believe that they should thank God for the bad things. You see, life's not fair, actually, but God is always good. Amen? So we don't thank God for the cancer, for the loss of a loved one. We don't thank God for that, but we thank God in the trial, in the circumstances. Amen? And then third lesson this morning, God does not only want to do great things in us, church, but through us. We've been born for a purpose and for a cause. And really and honestly, I know this. From the bottom of my heart, God wants to do great things in all of us. He does. And he doesn't want us to be like so obsessed with ourselves and our relationship with just our Father and us that we forget that there are other things on the planet we ought to be doing, right? So in 2 Corinthians 1 verse 4, he wrote, he comforts us in all our troubles so that, there's a so that, we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. I tremble at that, at those words. Are we able to give the same comfort to other people that God has given us? Ask yourself, because it's a challenge. You know, I've met people who say, I love my animals more than I love people. Now, I have a real, real problem with that. It's not as if I didn't grow up with animals. I don't have them now. I've tried on many occasions. But it's not as if I didn't grow up with dogs, Alsatians, Fox Terriers, Labradors, kittens, and all of that stuff, and I love them. But the time that you love animals more than you love people, you're missing something from God's word and from his heart. Because you see, it began with people. Well, I know, he created the earth and he put everything in place, but he put everything in place for the pinnacle of his creation, and that is man, because he wanted a relationship with man. So that's where it began. It began with people, and he created us, but we failed, so he sent his son to rescue people. We can debate about doggy heaven or elephant heaven right now, but I can be assured that there is a place that has been prepared for each and every one of us, because the Bible tells us. So it's all about people. It starts with people. It ends with people. Amen? And now, what does God want from us? He wants us to be his hands and his feet, as Pastor Danny Guglielmucci was saying on the screen earlier, because we are the ones to reach people. We're the ones to go out there and touch people's lives. And if we want to go from strength to strength, but we don't get on with people, we are going to be in trouble. Because here is a truth. If we are poor on relationships, even God can't take us very far. Where do we learn that lesson? For the sake of time, I couldn't put it in. We look at Jonah in the belly of a whale. He did not want to go to Nineveh and get those people saved. He did not want to. He didn't care about them. Yet God called him and used him. But he couldn't go very far as a prophet until he repented of that attitude. And you know, if we fail in relationships, as we have heard Pastor Andre say on so many occasions, when he's done a relationship series, then we fail. We got to learn how to win with people, but genuinely, not the smooth operators in business who the minute you walk out of their shop and don't buy from them, drop the smile and then, you know, genuine winning with people, it will get God's attention and he will entrust more to us and he will take us far. You've heard the saying, T's and C's apply. Terms and conditions do apply in the kingdom of God when it comes to people, right? 1 Thessalonians 4, Paul also writing, now about brotherly love, we do not need to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. Can I say something? You know, we have connection time. We've been asked, why do we have connection time? It's like asking, why do we have to give? I'm sorry, but I'm going to go, duh. We have connection time because we are meant to love people. We are meant to reach out to people. We are meant to be generous with people and to give them eye contact, because this pleases Father God. That's what he wants. People matter, and people are important to God. And I just want to deviate to 1 John 4, which is away from Paul's teachings. But, you know, John was an apostle ahead of the apostle Paul. So John would have taught Paul a thing or two. So I want to read this to us this morning. 4:19, it says, we love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. I'm laboring this point because what the world needs more than ever now, church, is love. There's far too much hate going on. Go to social media, it's enough to make you sick. I ask myself, where do people come on the things that they spew out at other human beings that Jesus died for? We can't be part of that. We've got to be part of the solution of this world, not part of the problem. If we want to go far, amen? You want to go far, you start loving people. All ages, all colors, all backgrounds, all different educations, made in the image of God. We want to go far, start loving your brother and sister, amen? And even the unlovely people, because you need to look into their eyes and see Jesus in them, amen? And then the fourth lesson is know your source. Boy, did Paul know his source. 2 Corinthians 1, he says, we stopped relying on ourselves and learned to rely only on God who raises the dead. Paul was an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. He called himself an ambassador in chains. And he was living for God, so he knew who his source was. In fact, he wrote in Philippians 4, he says, my God shall supply all your needs. Why could he say that? Because God had supplied all his needs according to his riches in glory. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, his grace is sufficient for me. Amen? And so we need to know, we can't go to God last. Go to him first. When you're unwell, go to him first. You're my daddy, God, my Father in heaven. You created this body. I'm not well. Lord, won't you heal me? Won't you touch me? Won't you give me a good report, even if I go to the doctor? Amen? Amen. Number 5, put your full confidence in God. Don't be so reliant on yourself and your talent and your looks and your gifts and all of that stuff. Come on. 2 Corinthians 1:10b, it says, we have placed our confidence in him. I said to the previous service that sometimes we are so confident within ourselves, and we do have scriptures that tells us to be confident. I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. That's why I'm able to stand here today. But you know what? We can push that so far, coupled with the values and the system of this world, that we believe we can do anything and everything, but actually it's not true. Let me prove it to you. If you are 6'4", you cannot be a jockey. We have limitations, right? And we need to understand that there are times that when we are weak, then we are strong. You know why? This is where Paul got to. When he was so weak, where they thought they were going to die, they fully relied on God and had confidence in his ability to bring them through. So it's the same for us. When we are weak, we're actually strong. We can give God a chance to work in us. And we can give God a chance then to work through us, because we're able then to encourage people with the same encouragement that God has encouraged us with. We may doubt ourselves at times. You know, when I was a young Christian, we got saved in 1974. It was a wonderful time. It's centuries ago to some of you. I can see some young people rolling their eyes, but it will be 44 in January next year. 44. Our marriage, babes, is 45. Our salvation is 44. Sorry, I've got the mic. So, So we walked into this church because there was this hippie revival going on, and people were coming to church with their torn jeans, and it wasn't actually in fashion. It's because they had like a joint in their hand as they were coming into church, and they were so busy buying all the drugs and the stuff that they couldn't afford to buy new jeans. But nowadays, apparently, it's a real fashion to tear your jeans up and look like we did in the 70s. But here's my point. We got saved in a wonderful revival. But as we hung out with people, all they could talk about at times was, oh, and did you know so-and-so was backslidden, and so-and-so was backslidden, and that person's busy backsliding. And I was like, what's that? Because I'm this baby Christian. And all they're talking about is this negativity that I started thinking, you know, it's like something you catch like a cold. So like you wake up 2 days from now, and you're like, I'm backslidden. It just happened overnight. Well, that's complete nonsense, isn't it? It really is, because I discovered this fantastic scripture. That's why we've got to be in the Word, not just hear it from here. Come on, be in the Word, Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Hey, be confident in God's ability. Have a confidence that says, I'm going to make it. Have a confidence that says, I'm going to go from strength to strength. He got me here. He's going to get me there. These are my dreams. He knows it. He's put it in me. Amen. Those are God dreams that we have, if it helps people and if it glorifies God. Let's just qualify that. When it comes from God, it will help people and it will glorify him. So if those are the motives that we have, we will go far. Amen. So just on the marriage thing, 45 years in February on Valentine's Day, because we got saved like 11 months after we got married. But 45, why 45? Because me too, I could have taken an axe and become the axe killer of the Highveld at some point or the other. Not really. But do you know what I'm saying? It doesn't mean marriage is, oh my gosh, it's sunshine and roses. And, you know, we're looking at life through rose-tinted glasses. And everything's just wonderful. It comes waltzing in the morning with coffee. And everything smells wonderful. No bad breath. Nothing like that. It's a choice, people. It's a commitment. Pastor Andre spoke about faithfulness being a fading quality of the fruit of the Spirit. Well, it's a decision to be faithful till death do us part. That's what we've done, and we weren't even born again when we got saved. We were babies. I was 19, he was 18. I was pregnant. What hope is there for two stupid little people like us? What? Tell me what. Well, this is what God does. He woos us by his Holy Spirit. He draws us to himself. He loves us. He forgives us. He reveals himself to us. He puts a purpose in our lives. Amen. He nurtures us. He disciplines us. And you know, before you know it, 44 years later, he who began a good work in me, I am convinced, will complete it. Until I either step through that door into eternity, or he collects us in the rapture, as it says in the Word of God. So I trust that you are encouraged. Number six, as we come to a close, quickly. You can be down, but not out. Paul was down many, many times, but he was never out. 2 Corinthians 1:10, he did rescue us from mortal danger, and he will rescue us again. We have placed our confidence in him, and he will continue to rescue us. You know, it's never a good time to throw in the towel. That is a boxing term. That means you can be in a boxing match, and you can get knocked down. You decide if you want to just lie there, summer. Shame, look at me, I've got a broken nose. Or you can jump onto your feet. Come on, come on. Give it your all, amen? Bring it on. I'm still in this fight. I have not allowed that towel to defeat me. I have not thrown in the towel, amen? Maybe you're at a place where you feel like you might die. Maybe not physically, but if you're wanting to commit suicide this December, please don't do it. We need you. The world needs you. Your family needs you. God needs you. God needs you because he's got something for you to do. He has a plan and a purpose for your life. Amen? And he wants the world to know your story. So maybe you can write a book about how close you came to ending it all. And it can help other people. And maybe today, if you don't know Jesus, you can open your heart to him and invite him in so that he can bring purpose and closure to those thoughts of yours which are not from him or of him, and allow you to live an abundant life with purpose and meaning, no matter how hard it looks and it is out there. Amen. So maybe you want to die because you feel your dreams are not coming to fruition. Or you just feel, my dreams are dying. Hang in there. Amen. Hang in there. Thoughts come to mind of Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. These were guys, they were Israelites during the time of Daniel. And King Nebuchadnezzar got so full of himself, went on a complete ego trip, had a 15-foot image in gold made of himself, and everyone had to bow down. Well, these three guys, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego refused to bow down, and they were standing on the edge of a furnace that was now being heated 7 times more, the perfect number of God. Hello, try it, devil, if you want to. And they were told one more chance, but they wouldn't budge. I can imagine Meshach looking over at Shadrach just before they were thrown into the fiery furnace and saying, Shadrach, I don't believe he brought us this far to leave us. Daniel 3, verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. And the story goes on to tell us that the three young men were rescued. In fact, they saw a fourth man in the fire who happens to be the Lord Jesus Christ. And they came out of that fire, out of that furnace, not a hair burnt on their head. Their clothes didn't smell like smoke. And I want to say to you, maybe you find yourself in a fiery furnace right now. By the word of the Lord, I want to declare over your life, you will come out of this with not a hair burnt on your head. And you will not smell like fire, because the God who got you there will take you further, and you keep going. You do not throw in the towel. You have not come this far to give it all up now. In Jesus' name, amen. No turning back. Here's our action point. Today I declare based on who God is, based on who God is, that I will go far. It's a winner's declaration, not a loser's declaration. Not a person, well, we'll wait and see how 2018 pans out. Decree and declare right now. Amen. I will go far and achieve great things in my life. Not because I'm beautiful or I'm successful or I'm gifted and I can sing like Lloyd and all of that stuff, but because of who he is, based on who he is, amen? The God who brought growth and victory to the many greats in his word will also do it for me.
We hope you have been blessed and inspired by this message.